Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was so distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So when I think back about COVID, when COVID first began, and what I remember most distinctly about that time is the very first morning, before we really knew anything, but when the whole world had just shut down, I vividly remember that I woke up that morning and I felt relieved. I felt relieved because I didn't have to be anywhere. I didn't have to feel guilty about being late for something. I didn't have to try to make up some excuse for why I'd forgotten about something I'd obligated myself to doing. I was able to just take a breath and not live that same wearying life that I had been living. For that brief moment, we were all given that opportunity by the world to just stop. And do you remember how we all promised ourselves that we were never gonna go and be like that again? Do you remember that? Okay, that was 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, and where are we now? I suspect that many of you, like me, again find yourselves living in that space of not enough. Not enough energy, not enough time, not enough capacity to do all the things that I have to do. So we are in a sermon series right now called Unhurried Advent. Unhurried Advent. And so I'm telling you that I am preaching this sermon to myself this morning on Unhurried Advent. Because when I am hurried, I am reactive. And I am putting out fires. I am checking boxes. I'm doing a lot of things. But I don't have any moments to just stop and ask the Lord, "What are you calling me to?" Our culture has absolutely trained us that busyness is a badge of honor, that all of our hustling around is holy in some kind of way, that our calendar dictates to us our worth. You got big white space on your calendar, that's inefficiency. But I want you to remember this. Hurry is not a fruit of the Spirit. But peace is. Patience is. Self-control is. The world and all its hurry has made us weary. So how are we, as people who live in this world, who feel that weariness, how are we to create lives for ourselves that we're not really desperate to escape from? John Wesley, who, as you know, is the founder of Methodism, famously said this, "I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do it." I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do it. Imagine that. I think Wesley is reminding us of something that I often forget about, that the deeper our need, the greater the necessity to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus. Our scripture today is probably a really familiar story to you. the story of Mary and Martha. I've heard this particular scripture preached as Mary is this good girl. She's so devoted and doing just the right thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. And then there's that busybody sister of hers, that old Martha. And sometimes this is kind of set up for us as this, this like battle between contemplative life and this life of action. But if we really look at what Luke is doing here, we'll see that that's not at all the point he's making. Because you know what comes right before this scene? Like right before it. You know how in the scripture reading it says, and then they went on and went to this house of Martha? Okay, where they were going on from right before this is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. That is the story we hold up about how discipleship is action, that costly action matters. And then the very next thing we hear about is this woman, Mary, who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, her discipleship marked by that attentive listening. So Luke is holding up both things for us as being true. It's both of these things. It's contemplation and it's action. It is love of neighbor in the doing and the love of God in the listening. So, just so that we are all on the same page, this story is not meant to shame all the Marthas, all the Marthas like me, okay? This is not Jesus shaming us. Martha is doing something that's really important. Y'all, Martha just opened her front door to 13 unexpected guests for dinner. And she lives in a time and a culture where her ability to be hospitable is tantamount with her identity. Like, these things all are wrapped up together for her. Her devotion to Jesus and his ministry, in her mind, in her culture's mind, is reflected in how she responds in this moment. The honor of her household is how does she do the good work that the world says she should be doing. So she's in the kitchen working. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing to be hospitable. She's doing holy work. She is feeding Jesus. So her work is not the problem. Listen instead to what Jesus says to her. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." And I think that the whole story is right there in those two words, worried and distracted. So we are 7 days into December, okay? How is your Advent season shaping up? Are you basking in the warm glow of the holiday lights? Or are you feeling overwhelmed because of all the gifts you have to buy and all the events you have to attend and all the expectations that you have to meet, all of the things? Are you worried and distracted? Because I speak from personal experience that worried and distracted people can get a lot of stuff done. But we also miss what is central. So let me offer you an example that may still be fresh in your minds. Thanksgiving. What is the purpose of Thanksgiving? To give thanks, right? To be with your family. To take a moment in stillness to thank God, to show your gratitude, to be with the people you love and the most in the whole world. But what does the way we spend our time say about what is the most important thing about Thanksgiving? Turkey. Our food, right? How much time do y'all spend procuring this food and preparing the food and cooking the food and transporting the food and then eating the food and cleaning up from the food? So if all that time with the food, which is really good, that's important, I'm a fan of the food, but if that leaves us in a place where we don't have time to actually be with the people that we love, then are we not just worried and distracted by many things like Martha? We have missed the whole central point of what we're doing. So this story of Mary and Martha comes right at the very start of Luke's whole narrative about Jesus' journey into Jerusalem. So they're up in Galilee, and then Jesus begins this move to Jerusalem, which he knows is where he's going to be crucified. And just as an aside, I think it's really important for us to take note and acknowledge the fact that Jesus, who had the most important job in the whole history of the world, was not in a big hurry. Okay, he took 3 years doing his ministry. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He needs a pit stop, and he goes to this house of Martha and Mary. Do you know what he wants when he gets there? Do you think he's looking for a four-course meal for Martha to have everything all set up beautifully and perfect? He's not looking for some flurry of activity. He wants time with his friends. He wants to be able to teach them, to pour life into them, to prepare them for all the things that are coming ahead of them. So when Martha comes out from the kitchen and expresses her concerns to Jesus, listen to what he says to her. He says, "Martha, few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part." Don't misunderstand this. Jesus is not dismissing her. He's not displeased with her. He's not angry with her. And he certainly is not trying to make her feel ashamed of what she's doing. Jesus is not that kind of guy. What he is saying to her is really this: "Martha, I love you, but you're exhausted. You're exhausted. And you are so distracted by so many things that you cannot focus on what's important. You can't hear me from that other room." Jesus is telling her in this moment that it is good and right and proper for her to set aside all the things that her culture tells her she needs to do in order to have worth. All the things that have served to make her so weary, he's giving her permission to abandon those things and instead to focus on what really matters, which is a life focused on Jesus, on that contemplative action that we are called to as disciples. That's what Jesus wants when he says the better part. That's what he wants for Martha, and that's what he wants for us. So here we are in the season of Advent, at a time when the world will give you plenty of things to be worried about and distracted by. You're gonna have gifts to buy and cards to mail and events that you have to attend and traditions that you've got to uphold, and many of those things are really good, really important things, and you should definitely do them. But in this season, Jesus is issuing to us that same gentle invitation that he offered to Martha. There is need of only one thing. He's not saying none of the silly stuff y'all do matters. What he's saying is, keep the main thing the main thing. Don't miss the better part. Make room for me. Because the truth is that most of our anxieties and our worries and our distractions lose their power if we take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. That listening heals us. That stillness gives us strength. I told you all before that the passage that's right before this story of Mary and Martha is the Good Samaritan. Do you know what comes right after it? I mean, right after it, very next line after the story's over. You know what it is? Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. Do you think that's an accident? Or do you think Luke is trying to tell us something? So, I want you to imagine you're going to Christmas dinner, okay? You're going to your in-laws or your Uncle Bob's house or wherever it is you're going this year for Christmas, and you show up and you have your arms are full of gifts and you have a Christmas card that you didn't order in time to mail, so you had to bring it with you, and you have a cranky toddler and like whatever food offering you're bringing, and your disgruntled teenager or whatever stage of life you're in right now. And as you walk in the room, you see Jesus is at the dining table. What do you do? Are you still going to be caught in the flurry of all this holiday distraction and worry? Or are you going to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen? That is the question that Jesus poses to Martha and to us. That is the invitation of an unhurried Advent. You don't have to let the world tell you how to live. Choose what is better, because you cannot hear Jesus speaking to you from the other room. Amen.